talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another night here on LA Talk Radio. And of course, Max and Friends, where would we be without you? You are my friends, so thank you all for tuning in. I got my listenership for the month of October, and usually I don't check the ratings, but I said, why not? And I thank you all for tuning in. There were a lot of you, so thank you. I love you all. Speaking of thanks, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. The holiday spirit is here. Do you feel it? Black Friday, sales, Christmas music, no matter where you go, it's happening. It's happening. I feel it in the vibe. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Speaking of the vibe, we all are just so happy to have Sky here again tonight because we're going to give you part three of Shifting Your Life. But I'm feeling a little bit in the holiday mood right now. So before I get into that holiday mood, I'm dedicating this song to all of my people at Big Pink in South Beach, Miami. Ashell, how you doing, and crew? Thank you all for always hooking us up down there at Big Pink. Love y'all. Now, we're going to play some Jingle Bells, and then when we get back, Sky Sheridan is here with part three of Shifting Your Life, Awakening the Creator Within. Jingle Bells on Max and Friends. Sky Sheridan, when we're back. Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Are you all ready to get part three of Shifting Your Life? You all are feeling this, aren't you? Life class here on Max and Friends. Well, I'm excited to give you part three. And that, of course, was Jingle Bells. I hope you're feeling the spirit. You know, we got to remix things because that's how we do it. Speaking of remixing, I just had to take a little break, and I had to drink some of my Arizona pomegranate green tea. I don't know where I'd be without this. It keeps me hydrated, and it also made my turkey hydrated, too, for Thanksgiving. So Arizona, drinkarizona.com. Check them out. Some great recipes on there. But I'm ready to awaken my creator within. I think my creator within has been awakened. It's been charged because I'm giving you all the dish here with Sky Sheridan on how to shift your life. Well, Sky is back. As promised with part three, we missed him last weekend, but he's here tonight because he's supposed to be where he's supposed to be. And that is on Max and Friends tonight right now. It's the appointed time, the appointed place, and all of you tuning in, we're glad you're here. If you want part one and part two of Shifting Your Life, they're in the archives. So check out latalkradio.com/max.php. Check that out. And, well, you know, they're on my Facebook page. You know the story. But, Sky, welcome back, and let's get into the shift part.
Max, I'm so thankful to be back here with you. How you doing tonight? Sounds like you're doing great.
I'm always doing great. Drinking my Arizona pomegranate green tea.
I love that you're in Arizona. It's so funny. The Voltaggios definitely are thankful for that, I'm sure. They're the people who own the company.
Of course. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. You see, last week, because you weren't here, you didn't get the scoop. I ended up cooking on Dr. Steve's show using Arizona because I know Wesley and all of them really well.
Oh, so. Wesley, of course. I love that you know Wesley. What a good guy.
I'm the chef. For Arizona iced tea.
That's amazing. Amazing. Well, it's 'tis the season to be cooking and drinking Arizona and, you know, getting it all in.
It's the season to awaken the creator within.
Sure is. Definitely. I'm so thankful to be back here and to discuss this with you. So thank you, Max, once again for having me on the show.
Absolutely. You know, everyone's been anticipating part three because they had one and two. And then last weekend you were doing your modeling shoot because you are out and about doing your thing in life, which is wonderful. And everyone felt let down, but I said, no, wait a minute, people, because I did get emails.
Divine timing. It's right now. You know what I mean? We got to surrender.
It is. Where we are at this moment is we're exactly where we're supposed to be.
Tolkien, the great author, Tolkien, you know, the Lord of the Rings author, said something that I really love to quote all the time. When we get into that, you know, paradigm of, oh, it's late, it's early, it's whatever time that it is, and we're late or early. And he said, I'm neither late nor early. I arrive precisely what I mean to. And I love that because it really is about surrendering to just letting it all kind of unfold outside of our own, you know, consciousness. So thank you for giving me that.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Here's the deal, everyone. There's no such thing as missing anything in life because you could always go to latalkradio.com and you can catch all of the part one and part two of Shifting Your Life and now part three. And part three, which is the seventh shift, which I think is one of the greatest ones and one that I really love a lot, is called Awaken the Creator Within. Greater intelligence, greater consciousness, oneness. Sky, explain.
Yeah, well, I think this is probably one of the most exciting ones for me, too. And it's also the one that I talk in the book about the 2012 shift that we're all going through, which is to stop relying on the outer dependency of what we see and what we feel and everything, and to really go within our own being and connect with the creative power that we have, the greater intelligence that is within us. And it's really good to begin to start taking responsibility as creators because, you know, for the longest time, a lot of us grow up and we think, oh, you know, we're at the whim of the world. You know, if there's people who are homeless, well, it's always how it's going to be. If there's wars, that's how it's always going to be. If there's disease, it's how it's always going to be. We feel so powerless. You know, a lot of us have this thing I call victim consciousness. And what is sad is that we participate together collectively and individually we're such creator, powerful creators that we were absolutely able to destroy as well. So that's kind of why I started Call to Create and why, you know, the seventh shift is one of my favorite shifts is because it's all about our creative capacity. It's all about bringing awareness to what it is that we actually create on a daily basis.
Well, what is it that we create? I mean, I know the things that I create, but for those of us who don't know how to create things, how do we get those creative juices flowing?
Well, the best way to do it, I think, is to just simple awareness, first of all. You know, when you get up in the morning, what are some of the things that are surrounding you? What kind of environment are you in? What kind of things are you partaking in and saying yes to and saying thank you to? And, you know, what things are you actually lacking or complaining about? And if there's destructive parts in your life, know and take responsibility. The first thing you can really do is just take responsibility for what's going on in your life. I am the creator of this experience. I am also creating some of this challenge. And once you make that shift from victimhood to blaming everything on the outer You know, we've lived in a world currently where we all are dependent on outer systems. We depend on the government, and we depend on this money system, and we depend on everything that comes from outside of ourselves for happiness, you know, from money to relationship to everything. And the best thing that we could do is to begin to take responsibility for what's going on within ourselves, and to begin to have a relationship with what's going on within ourselves, with our thoughts and our feelings and our belief systems, and find out, what is that part of ourselves that is the creator of our experience? How are we perceiving things when we get up in the morning? You know, can we take responsibility for even some of the most challenging and destructive things in our lives? And once we do, there's an affirmation that I really love, is that when I get into a place of crisis or challenge, I say to myself, you know what? If I've created this challenge, I can also create something different from this challenge. You know, and I can create the opposite of it. So it's just about basically taking responsibility and really learning that there is the same creative power, the God or the greater consciousness that we all can pray to or meditate with, is also within us. It's not separated from us. We are part of that, you know?
Absolutely. Well, right now in New York, everyone, it's 11:11, so make your wish. But, yay, you know, Sky, it's interesting because – you know, the one thing that we don't do in life, a lot of us don't do, is take accountability and responsibility for our actions. And we could wake up in misery every morning like a lot of people do and dredge, oh, this is going to be a long, shitty day. Oh, this day, blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, it's Monday. You know, people get that notion in their head that they're creating, and they don't realize is that they're creating a bad day, a bad week. Instead, people wake up and say, thank you, today's going to be an amazing day. You know, just do affirmations. Take accountability for your words, because once you put them out there, you're creating your day. Sky says, what are we? We're creators. What did we come here to do? Create. So what are we creating? And then, Sky, what I find interesting is you say, and also, what are we destroying?
Yes.
So explain how we subconsciously maybe even are destroying our lives.
Well, this actually came to me during my yoga practice a lot. I began to realize how powerful I was through yoga. It was a big shift from what I went to from Mormonism to the yoga practice, because in Mormonism or religion in general, there's a little bit of this, you pray to the outer being and the outer being will bestow upon you greater powers, you know, and in yoga, you begin to take much more awareness and bring it into your body and the cells in your body, understand what you're doing. And so, you know, I really had this shift of understanding that the wars that I saw, I was always very sensitive and very empathic to things that I saw outside of myself. So I'd see war happening and I would see disease happening and I'd see poverty happening. And I felt, you know, what can I do as with this one little person, this one little speck, this one little cell on the planet? Is there anything that I can do? And as I began to see some of that stuff rising in my own consciousness and taking responsibility for my own choices, I saw that there was actually a war going on inside of myself, that there was actually dis-ease going on inside of myself, that there was actually parts of my consciousness that were in poverty. And, you know, it really is true that if we can change our consciousness, if we can learn to tap into the creative power that's within us, we ripple out in the world. Our whole entire vibratory experience changes, and it literally begins to affect everybody that we come in contact, everybody that our words reach, everybody that we can actually create with. And so what's really going on is that the destroying part that you just asked about is that collectively we are putting up with war. We're putting up with poverty. We're putting up with these old destructive paradigms. And, you know, we're obviously in the shift right now, of course, in the world, and we're seeing a collective change because people are changing themselves. People are willing to take responsibility for themselves. And so what's happening is we're having a tipping point and people are realizing that the destructive stuff that they've been putting up with themselves is also going on in the world. And so if we want to stop destroying, we have to stop destroying and start creating. You know, we have to learn what is our creative capacity. And that's really something that you can change and shift in your life right now. What is my creative capacity? What can I create? And just start there with that question, and you'll see stuff will start to flow to you. Can I create health? Yes. Can I create peace? Yes. Can I create wellness? Yes. Do you know what I mean? Those are things that we've created before in our lives. So why don't we start to go with that and just start with those small steps?
Well, you know, why do you think it is, Guy, that we feel so powerless?
Well, I think that what happens is from birth, we're told that everything all of our power is based off of an interaction and a reaction from our outer experience. So, you know, there's this idea of basically if someone's going to steal something for you, or like, you know, or like we have this big war going on right now, it's like there's all this fear that people say, oh, there, someone's going to come steal something from you. So you have to protect yourself or protect your home. So we've been taught a lot of fear, and we don't trust. And unfortunately, we don't trust ourselves, and that ripples out into the world. So we don't trust anybody outside of ourselves. We don't even trust nature. I mean, at this point, and we're living in cities so much, we don't even trust nature. You know what I mean? She seems so destructive to us. So, you know, it's really about setting an intention to trust yourself first. And setting an intention is basically just holding a space or a vision for what can be. So if you're sick right now, or if you feel there's a lot of destructive stuff going in your life, take a moment to, even if you don't even believe that you do feel powerless and you don't even believe in this stuff, try to set a space aside in your life where you can just hold an idea and a feeling that wellness is possible for you, or that being prosperous or taken care of by the universe is possible for you. You know, it just starts with one little shift of feeling that we are powerful. It just takes that one little shift to understand that, and then the powerlessness, you know, starts to diminish. It's all about focus, really. That's really what it comes down to.
Now, here's my question to you, Sky, because we've had – this is almost 4 years that I'm doing this show now, and we've had so many people come on, let's say motivational speakers, people who really come on the show to help others. You know, this is the intention of the show, is really so that we can help people shift their life. And – really, like I've said in my past shows when I've had you on, it's really with great pleasure that I have you on, because the way you break this down is so simply put. And I think for those who are listening now, because I know there's people listening who say, okay, if I'm ill, okay, if I'm broke, if I don't have a job, how can I begin to create something in my life that's going to be health, that's going to be money, that's going to be job related? How do we tell our listeners tonight, Sky, here's the way you can create, because there are a lot of people are tuning in and saying, you know, I'm breaking it down that this is bullshit. How can I create my life? How can I do this? How can I, if I'm broke? So do you have the answer, or what is your perception of it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't claim to have answers for anybody. I actually believe, you know, the answers can be summoned by what's within you already. But I mean, I can definitely try to reflect to people what's already within them. And the first thing, you know, I do get a lot of skeptics in my life, and that's so brilliant. I love that. I welcome all the skepticism I possibly can, because it helps me just be more even faithful and trusting. But, you know, there's this view in our world of I can't, you know, and the second you say I can't, well, you can't, then you can't. You've shut down all possibility. And really, even if you go to a scientific level, you know, all we are electrons and atoms, and they all resound with every single possibility that the universe could create. OK, we are just in a collective of those atoms that are reflecting in one possibility. So when you say I can't, what you end up doing in your life is you shut every single door that could possibly be open to you. So if you can just make a simple change in your life from saying I can't, or this is not possible for me, or it's not even possible for the world, like the skeptics that I have all the time, because my main message is like, we are at a point in time in history where I really believe, Max, that you and I are going to enter a world where there's no longer going to be poverty, and there will no longer be war, that we'll be at peace. You know, and I think that's really happening right now. We're seeing that with the whole Power to the People movement happening. And what we're doing is we're saying there can be peace. There can be healing. You know, there can be all kinds of this, like the good stuff that can be in our lives. And just that simple shift from I can't to I can creates the possibility. You tune into the entire possible field of what the universe holds. And then when you move that small little space, you can go from I can to I am. And I am is the creator. I am is knowing all of the energy and all of the atoms within your body are also connected to every single atom and all that is that resounds in the cosmos, on this planet, in this solar system, in this entire universe. And when you are tapped into that power, then you realize that not only is it possible, but that I am the experience, that I am the health, that I am the possibility for this. And then you become it. And it's a very, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but it's all about trust. It's really about trusting your creative power. And that's the one thing, is that we've been programmed for a very long time, Max, to not believe in our creative power. We've been told that somehow someone has to give something to us. We've also had the savior mentality on this planet for a long time, that someone is going to save us. We constantly look for our government to save us. We constantly look for our employers to save us, our parents to save us, you know? So let's start taking responsibility, people. Let's start saying I can, and let's start saying that I am.
Well, I agree. And you know what? We have our listener Maureen tuning in tonight, and she said her father used to tell her that if it's thinkable, it's doable. So on that note, what I want to do, everyone, is we were talking about peace just before with Sky here on Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio, and I feel that I am going to play you all a song right now, because I just feel it right now in my spirit to play this song for you all. It's one of my favorites from Sabrina Johnson called Peace. And when we're back, Sky Sheridan is here with the remaining part of Shifting Your Life of Part 3. Awakening the Creator Within. Until then, take a little time right now, everyone, to be still and know that peace is within. By Sabrina Johnson, I'm Max and Friends. Sky, when we're back.
Ha ha!
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Sabrina Johnson, Peace. Can you feel it? I feel it in my soul, y'all. Well, the reason why I played that song is because we need to know that peace is possible. And my guest, Guy Sheridan, is here tonight from CallToCreate.com. His book, The Seven Shifts. Today is part three of Shifting Your Life. And we're talking about transforming the I can't into I can. And we can create peace, people. Sky, what do you say?
Woo, Sabrina. I have to just say, wherever she is on this planet, thank you for someone with that voice and consciousness. She's amazing. Thank you for so much for playing that. I loved it.
She's creating peace in that song.
Oh my gosh, she's like just everything she was saying. You know, you're feeling it and thinking it, which is the best thing you could possibly be doing. So I'm going to be playing that song for quite some time now.
Right. Well, you know, it's important. We got to remember, everyone, that you know, a lot of things come from dreams, imagination, vision. That song, if you could just imagine that song as a video and peace around this whole world, it would be a beautiful dream. It would be a beautiful vision. And Sky says the most important part of creating is to dream, is to imagine, is to vision. Why is that, Sky?
Well, because the biggest thing right now, the biggest shift that I think that anyone can walk away from with from this program and from my voice right now is that, you know, we really have to learn that things don't happen to us. They happen from us, you know what I mean? And so having a dream and an imagination or a vision is all about letting it come from us. The creative power comes from us. Things aren't happening to us. And so if we can just make that little shift from that one programming to have things happening to us from outer experiencing, that things happen, they flow through us, then we can dream and we can start to imagine peace and we can start to live peace within our being. You know, Max, within us, there's this whole world that's waiting to be explored. We put so many hours of our day into the five senses, into everything that we can see, touch, taste, hear, smell. You know, we believe in it so much, and we believe in it more so than we actually believe in what's going on within us. But there's this this inner world, this inner dimension of living that people who meditate and people who are praying and people who are really learning about themselves and how they behave and what they think and how they feel are learning to become masters, you know. And I really think that 2012, this auspicious date that everyone's kind of been talking on, this shift that's going to happen in the world, is really about learning that we all are masters, that we're all very powerful people, and that we can no longer have to depend on this outer physical world for what we get. The true freedom comes from when we learn that things are coming from us and that we tap into the power through our own being, you know, and that there's this whole world waiting for us on the inside of our being that we really can use our dreaming and imagination and vision to help program in a way, if you want, or allow that vision to unfold outside of us. It comes from within us. We shine it out. You know, we shine the peace. We shine the love. We shine all of the things that we want to be. And then it's reflected back to us like a mirror.
Absolutely. Now, what do you say to those right now who are sitting home saying, I don't have that light to shine. This little light of mine doesn't shine. What do you say to them, Sky?
I love you guys. No, seriously. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who, and myself included, I've been down that road, we all have, where it just seems like everything outside of us is so much heavier than what we can even handle. And it even seems like in the world some days that the world is falling apart and that we really don't have any control. But what a greater point in your life, if your world is breaking down, what a greater point to withdraw into the power of who you are and to become still and to really make some changes that don't depend on the outer at all, but that just depend on anything that you can work on within your own thoughts and feelings. And it doesn't even take like having to go do hard work or try to change the world outside or volunteer. It takes just a few minutes laying in your bed or sitting in a chair and just breathing and tapping into how you feel and what you think. And it's, you know, it's really powerful stuff if you can just get to that point. And I know I just want to say I love you to any of those people who feel overwhelmed, because I've been there. We're all in this together. It's not the easiest game that we're playing right now, but the breakdown always offers us a possibility to break through. If we want to take it, it's there. And I encourage people to take it, including myself.
And I encourage people right now to go to calltocreate.com, because there you can find the book, The Seven Shifts. If you want to learn more about Sky, go to Call to Create. If you want to follow Sky on Twitter, go to Call to Create. It's the number two, everyone. Called number two, Create. And also, I've got to let you all know right now that Sky was here for part one and part two, and now this is part three, our conclusion of Shifting Your Life. Not in any means are we concluding it, because Sky's going to come back. He's going to come to the show. Y'all seen him as one of Max's friends in our list of friends there. Sky's going to be back, but I want you all to get the book, because I love reading your emails. I love getting your tweets. I love it all. So continue to write. Tweet me at twitter.com/MaxTucci. Send me your questions there. We're going to have Sky back when we have a – we're going to dedicate a whole show to Sky and you, our listeners. We're going to have you call in so you can ask Sky. It'll be a Q&A because Sky is here to help you all. His book, Call to Create, and the seven shifts, the whole thing is a package – it's a love package for you. So get ready. The holidays are here if you want the ultimate gift. One of my favorite things for this year so far – I'm letting you all know early because you all know I do my favorite things show like Oprah. But one of my favorite things this year is The Seven Shifts by Sky Sheridan. So I do encourage you to go get that book. Like Sky says, I am unlimited every day in every way because I am capable of anything. Sky, how did you get that quote in your soul?
It just came from my being. Like, it can come from any being out there who's on this planet today. It comes from within. And Max, I just have to say, I'm so humbled to be in your presence. You're such an amazing light in this world. And everyone who's listening right now, please tune into what Max has to say. He's bringing forth such light, and I just feel so humbled to be in your presence. Thank you, Max.
Well, thank you, Sky. And hi to India, hi to Malaysia, hi to all you countries tuning in, because you've got a big followership too, Sky, because last time on Facebook we had people hitting us up from India, from Malaysia, from Colorado, Cindy in Colorado, Maureen, Florida, everywhere people are tuning in. So that shift is happening, everyone. Do you feel – I know the shift is happening. It's going to continue to happen. Grab a hold of it. Get on this magic carpet ride that we're calling the shift, because it's going to take you, like Aladdin said, to a whole new world, people.
It's about you. It's not about a nation. It's about you. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with nations. It's all about us. So it's
absolutely. Sky, I need a quote from you because we're going to let you go because we got to get some political talk in because this is all the rage right now. But give us a quote that's going to bring us into this week of peace, love, and happiness.
I would say that, you know, with a creative shift that we're all going on right now, start with what you have already created in your life. Look for things that you've really created well and go with that. And that's what I have to say.
And go with that. So, everyone, Sky, I'm going to let you go. I thank you so much. I will talk to you, I'm sure, pretty soon. And we're going to have you back before Christmas.
Absolutely.
That stability of knowing peace. It's such a freaky phrase of our minds, and everyone's going crazy trying to figure out things to buy when we need to be still and know that things in life you don't need to buy. But if you're going to buy anything, buy the book, The Seven Shifts by Sky Sheridan, calltocreate.com. Sky, have a wonderful week, and we're going to talk
to you
soon.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your politics.
Thank you so much. I shall. Speaking of politics, we have Hunter Cross and Felonious Monk coming on the show in just a moment. So stay tuned. Thank you so much to Sky Sheridan. He's a great author. Go to calltocreate.com. The Seven Shifts is the book. But until then, everyone, how about a little bit of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Let's get in that holiday spirit. Can you believe it already? I know. Take a deep breath. Relax as we're taking politics to the max on Max and Friends. When we're back, Hunter Cross and our boy Felonious Monk is here, and we're going to talk about so many things. Newt Gingrich. We're going to talk about Bachman. We're going to talk about Jimmy Fallon's show. So stay tuned. Until then, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Max and Friends. Remix it, Ronin.
Oh, him.
And a very shiny
Monroe King for letting everyone else know that this is Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio. That was Monroe King singing our little jingle. And before that, that was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I like to remix things for you all. Speaking of remix, well, did you all hear, you remember that song back from the roots back in the day, Lion Ass Bitch? Well, apparently, and that's not apparently, it's true, Michelle Bachman was on Jimmy Fallon late night. And guess what happened? They played that song, Lion Ass Bitch, when she walked in. Well, she was outraged and said the following, Ronan.
If that had been Michelle Obama who had come out on the stage, and if that song had been played for Michelle Obama, I have no doubt that NBC would have apologized to her, and likely they could have fired the drummer or at least suspended him. None of that happened from NBC. And this is clearly a form of bias on the part of the Hollywood entertainment elite, but it's also, I think, a sexism as well. This wouldn't be tolerated if this was Michelle Obama. It shouldn't be tolerated if it's a conservative woman either.
This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Michelle Bachman, and this is Felonious Monk. What's going on, my brother, and what do you think of
this? What's going on, man? What's going on? Well, here's the thing. It's an entertainment show. Jimmy Fallon is an entertainer. The show is an entertainment show, and we've gone to this area where politicians are now celebrities. Politicians go on late-night shows, and it started with Clinton going on the Arsenio Hall show and playing the saxophone and trying to be cool. Well, I mean, this is what you get yourself into. Now, here's the other part about that. She's probably right. It is probably the Hollywood establishment, or at least Questlove from the Roots, or the Roots themselves, who aren't very, you know, excited about Michelle Bachman. But the comparison between her and Michelle Obama, who was booed at a NASCAR event, and I didn't see any conservatives rushing to defend her honor as the first lady of this country, which I think should hold slightly more weight than someone who is possibly running and who we all know has approval ratings way lower than the unemployment rate. I don't think Michelle Bachman really has a major complaint here. I'm okay with it. Not because it's Michelle Bachman, but because you put yourself in that situation to be on an entertainment show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you open
all
yourself
right
up to criticism.
All right, I'm feeling you. Listen, Hunter, what do you have to say about Michelle Bachman and the whole lion-ass bitch?
I don't know what she expected. She right. went on Jimmy Fallon, and she they played a song, and she didn't think it was appropriate. She should have just laughed at it and said that it was funny. I think she's being just a bitch. I don't think that she has any place in comparing herself to Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama is not known to have lied in any particular instance. And Michelle Obama is the president's wife. Why wouldn't she be accorded a little more decorum than somebody who is running for president who lies every time she opens her mouth?
Well, I agree. What do you think, Felonious? You agree with Hunter?
I definitely agree. I mean, the big issue is, and I just watched the national security debate a week ago, and
oh, we're
going to
talk about that.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's jump right into that, because I'm over this Michelle Bachman bullshit. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Because if you want to be president of this country, that's going to be the last thing that they're going to be worth calling you a lion-ass bitch. You're going to be called everything else. And if you can't handle that, don't handle running for president. You know what? Let's talk about Newt Gingrich and the super committee and what he had to say this past week at this whole big thing. Hit it, Ronan. I think this super committee is about as dumb an idea as Washington has come up with in my lifetime.
I mean, if you will for a second, I mean, I used to run the House of Representatives. I have some general notion of these things. The idea that 523 senators and congressmen are going to sit around for 4 months while 12 brilliant people, mostly picked for political reasons, are going to sit in some room and brilliantly come up with $1 trillion or force us to choose between gutting our military and accepting a tax increase is irrational. This they're going to walk in just before Thanksgiving and say, all right, we can shoot you in the head or cut off your right leg. Which do you prefer? What they ought to do is scrap the committee right now, recognize it's a dumb idea, go back to regular legislative business, assign every subcommittee the task of finding savings, do it out in the open through regular legislative order, and get rid of this secret phony business.
Phony business, Newt Gingrich. What do you think, Hunter Cross?
Well, I think that he's right that it was doomed for failure, but he's only right because he's as cynical as everybody else is about the ability of Congress to get anything done. It's true that this committee was doomed because they were picked for political points of view, that they were never going to agree on anything. But I think it's cynical, and he's acknowledging and simply accepting the cynicism that we have, that Congress can't do anything because they're so politically divided. Why can't we expect a group of 12 intelligent people to sit in a room and come up with some solutions? Why can't we expect them to make give and take and come up with some solutions to our ailing economy? He's so cynical that he knows how divided everybody is, and there's no way they're going to come up with anything. And it's just an acknowledgement of that. It's sad. It's a really sad commentary that a presidential candidate acknowledges how screwed up our government is.
What do you think, Filonius?
I think it's 2 points to that. Newt Gingrich obviously is the brightest guy running currently, and he's usually the smartest guy in the room. Unfortunately, it's just so much to dislike with Newt that you kind of overlook the fact that he has great ideas. He has phenomenal ideas, you know, him being a progressive or whatever, irrelevant to me, mostly because he just, I mean, think about this. The idea that he came up with, what you do is you get all of your subcommittees together and you find out ways within each subcommittee to cut costs is a phenomenal idea, and here's why. Because now you don't have to worry about whatever the super committee comes up. It's still going to have to go through Congress. They're still going to have to pass it. And if somebody feels like their group was unfairly targeted for cuts, they're going to try and, you know, vote it down. The idea where each subcommittee comes up with a certain amount of cuts, or they have to come up with a certain amount of cuts by a certain time, was a great idea. However, like Hunter said, when you're a presidential candidate, and what you've just told me is, no matter what happens, our Congress is not going to agree because, for mostly political reasons, they don't want to. Where are we as a country? So you're running for president knowing that you're going in to a bad situation. Even if you win, even if you're president, you still have to work with a legislature that you just said is incapable of making a decision. You just said it. So why should I want you to be my president if you basically told me you can't work with this Congress either?
Absolutely. He's so ethically bankrupt, it's hard to even accept any of his ideas as being real. This is a man who, when he was in the House of Representatives, had more than 80 charges of ethical violations against him. He was sanctioned $300,000 for lying, basically, about how he was lying on his tax returns and claiming some kind of a tax scam with some training or a course he was giving or something. $300,000, the largest sanction ever imposed by the legislature against its members.
Let's not forget he also cheated on his wife.
He not only cheated on his wife while she was dying of cancer, but he cheated on the one that he was cheating on at the same time he was trying to get Bill Clinton impeached for the Monica Lewinsky scandal. The guy is just ethically bankrupt.
We've got to be careful. I mean, although that's accurate, and we all know, using common sense, that's pretty much the reason why. It's fair to point out that Bill Clinton was impeached because of lying brain just froze up. But because he lied to
the people. I did not have sexual encounters.
Yeah,
no, there's no question about it. But the point is that, yes, it's true that he was impeached for lying to Congress. However, they pursued him for that because they were trying to get him for anything at all they could. That's why they pursued it. Just like they went after Martha Stewart for lying to an investigator about whether she got a stock tip, something everybody would do because they wanted to get her.
If Martha were a man, they would never have arrested her. But listen, I want to talk about how Ron Paul educates Newt Gingrich on the Patriot Act. So I want you guys to listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it. Hit it, Ronan. Ron Paul.
I do. Tell us why. I think the Patriot Act is unpatriotic because it undermines our liberty. I'm concerned, as everybody is, about the terrorist attack. Timothy McVeigh was a vicious terrorist. He was arrested. Terrorism, still on the books internationally and nationally, is a criminal. It's a crime, and we should deal with it. We dealt with it rather well with Timothy McVeigh. But why I really fear it is we have drifted into a condition that we were warned against, because our early founders were very clear. They said, don't be willing to sacrifice liberty for security. Today, It seems too easy that our government and our Congresses are so willing to give up our liberties for our security. I have a personal belief that you never have to give up liberty for security. You can still provide security without sacrificing our Bill of Rights.
I want to bring others in, but do you want to respond, Mr. Speaker?
Yeah. Timothy McVeigh succeeded. That's the whole point. Timothy McVeigh killed a lot of Americans. I don't want a law that says, after we lose a major American city, we're sure going to come and find you. I want a law that says, you try to take out an American city, we're going to stop you.
This is like saying that we need a policeman in every house, a camera in every house, because we want to prevent child beating and wife beating. You can prevent crimes by becoming a police state. So if you advocate the police state, yes, you can have safety and security, and you might prevent a crime, but the crime then will be against the American people and against our freedoms, and we will throw out so much of what our revolution was fought for. So don't do it so carelessly.
Congresswoman Bachman, let me bring you into this conversation. Are you with Congressman Paul or Speaker Gingrich? Or you?
I don't know what to say, but you know what I want to say? I have a quick question about Ron Paul. And I don't know, Ron Paul, do you think Newt Gingrich is an asshole?
I do.
I would say that again, Ron Paul. What do you think?
I do.
I thought so. But Felonious, what do you have to say about all of this?
Brilliant. Oh, brilliantly done by Dr. Paul. You've seen the movie with Tom Cruise and the seers that were laying in the water trying to predict who was going to commit a crime, and they would go and arrest the person before the crime was actually committed. It's a science fiction movie. Tom Cruise plays it and actually gets accused of a crime that he's supposedly going to commit. This is kind of what we're doing here. And, you know, not going to tie that into Rick Santorum and his racial profiling, but that this is where we're going. And everyone seems okay with it. And we're only okay with this because of 9/11. We're only okay with this because of 9/11, because we have lived in a constant state of fear, terror level, whatever, ever since 9/11. And let's not minimize 9/11. However, let's still remember that this is a country that gives us certain liberties that we are proud of, and we always remind each other of these things when we talk about other countries and what it's like to live somewhere else, and remember we have the freedom to say and do X, Y, and Z that they don't have other places, and every encroachment upon those rights is putting us closer and closer to these other countries that we criticize for not having the freedom that we do. And it's kind of funny that the Tea Party pretty much is voting conservative and Republican every time, but it's the Republicans who are sitting there in our faces telling us that we are going to infringe upon your civil liberties at every opportunity that we can. The Patriot Act has been unpatriotic and against the Constitution from the very beginning. It continues to be, and presidents from both parties have voted for it. Nobody seems to think that's okay. And a few statistics.
Absolutely.
16 terrorist suspects have been arrested because of the Patriot Act. 16,000 drug dealers have been arrested because of the Patriot Act. Who is it affecting?
Absolutely. Hunter, what do you have to say about that whole thing with Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich?
Well, first of all, it infuriates me that whenever they ask Ron Paul a question, the audience, you know, snickers as if what he has to say is meaningless. He makes more sense than most of those people on that dais. But the premise that Newt Gingrich has that a police state is necessary to prevent terrorism is flawed. There have been terrorist acts in Russia. They bombed subways. The fact that there's a totalitarian regime or a police state in place doesn't guarantee that there's not going to be a loose cannon, that there's not going to be a Timothy McVeigh. What is Newt suggesting, that somehow we could have prevented Timothy McVeigh by what? Tapping the phone of every kook in America? Is that really the country we want to live in?
You know what? Listen, Pakistan is one country that I would not want to live in. And I just want to play this real quick, and then we got to wrap this segment up because we got to let people go, because we got, you know, we got to live life to the max. But hold up. Here's real quick Bachman telling Perry they got to clash over Pakistan together. Ronan, hit it.
The money that we are sending right now is primarily intelligence money to Pakistan. It is helping the United States. Whatever our action is, It must ultimately be about helping the United States and our sovereignty, our safety, and our security.
You would continue that aid to Pakistan?
At this point, I would continue that aid, but I do think that the Obama policy of keeping your fingers crossed is not working in Pakistan. And I also think that Pakistan is a nation that it's kind of like too nuclear to fail. And so we've got to make sure that we take that threat very seriously.
Governor Perry.
I understand where she's coming from, but the bottom line is that they've showed us time after time that they can't be trusted.
They showed us time and time that they can't be trusted. We got to wrap this up quickly. So, Filonius, what do you have to say about that?
It's a very tough question. It's one of the few times that Michelle Bachmann said something that I kind of agreed with. Pakistan is too nuclear to fail. We do have an interest there. I don't think we have a financial interest there. I really don't, and I don't know where this whole idea that if we continue to throw money at it, then they'll like us. That's never worked. It's never worked when I dated a woman, and it doesn't seem like it's working with Pakistan. Obviously, they still don't like us. So, you know, her policy. And then the other thing is, this is a Republican debate. I want to know what you're going to do. Don't tell me what Obama's not doing. And she found every opportunity that she could to bring up Obama's name and prove that she was somehow different.
That's typical Bachmann.
Well, it was a rare moment of candor before she got to the Obama stuff, where she actually acknowledged that we can't ignore nuclear powers just because we choose to, because they're mean to us. We have to work with them, and the fact that we're there allows us to have access to their airspace. It allows us to have access in their country generally. And Perry would suggest that because we don't agree with their politics all the time, that we shouldn't have any of that access and that we should simply cut them off. It reflects a naivete that perhaps a governor who has no foreign policy experience might suggest.
Well, you know what? I would love to carry this conversation on, and I would love to get more air time to play it. But unfortunately, we got to go. But before I let you go, I have a quick question for Ron Paul. Hey, Ron Paul, do you listen to Filonius Monk, Hunter Cross, and Max Tucci on Max and Friends?
I do.
More proof that Dr. Paul is not that shit crazy like they think.
Thank you very much. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here tonight. I appreciate your time on Max and Friends, because we got to take this political banter, political insanity, you know, of course, to the max, because that's where it belongs. But Filonius Monk, everyone, catch him on YouTube. Download his videos, because he's always got them going out. And plus, keep in touch with the whole B thing, because there's the sweatshirts out there, and I want your picture, so tweet me. And follow Filonius Monk on Twitter. Follow him on, of course, Facebook. And Hunter Cross is on Twitter, too. Hunter X Cross on Twitter. Go find him there. Everyone else, I love you all for listening tonight. Thank you so much, Sky Sheridan, for being here. A call to create the seven shifts. Love you all for tuning in. CBS News next. Until next time, take life to the max. I'm out, everyone. Peace out. Good night.